Before Toby comes and speaks to us this morning, I'm just going to do the reading. And the reading is from 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 to 14. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. Good work up, Toby. Woo!
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Laura. And hello, everyone. Great to see you. My name is Toby. I'm the vicar here, if we've not met before. And I wanted to speak to you today on the subject, don't waste your gifts. Don't waste your gifts. And the reason why I say that is that the moment is a really interesting time in the life of the church, the nation. The church is, we're very blessed here, but we are, as you can see, bursting at the seams. So next is the biggest it's ever been since we started. And we're thinking about whether we need to start a new service. We have a toddler group that meets on Mondays. We've had over 100 people turning up to our toddler group. We mentioned Alpha the other day, earlier today, in terms of workplace Alpha. One person in our congregation went to their boss of a multinational and said, could I run Alpha? And they said, well, let's see whether we could implement it across the whole of our corporation, across every single office. I don't know if that's going to happen, but there is this kind of hunger and openness to the gospel. We had 5 people being baptized this time last week in the evening, which is an amazing time of people sharing their testimonies and people coming to faith. Our kids' work at the moment is bursting at the seams. We need a new building. It's really exciting. And also, it's a time of incredible challenge. You know, in our city, there are huge challenges. We talked about Marvin Reese. I was at a collection of church leaders with Marvin this week, actually, to pray for him, for giving thanks for what's happened, but also to pray for the next whoever's going to come in. And there are elections coming up. We're praying for those elections, but there are massive challenges in our city. I don't need to tell you what they are. They're across the board. We've had knife crime. There's loads of other challenges across our city. Also, challenges globally. I don't need to tell you about the huge risk factors at the moment globally. And there are huge challenges personally as well. I don't know what you're going through at the moment. Challenges maybe in your relationships, or your work, or your finances, or your health. So a time of huge blessing and a huge time of challenge as well. And this passage that Laura just read to us is a passage which was in a similar time of challenge and blessing. So Paul, St. Paul, was writing to Timothy. And most people think this is the last letter he ever wrote. And he is facing huge opportunity. He has planted churches around the Mediterranean, and they are growing. New leaders are emerging. Timothy is one of them. It's a time of huge growth, but also huge challenge. Politically, massive challenge. Socially, economically, but personally for Paul, this is one of his darkest moments. He's under house arrest, he's facing a trial, and he thinks that he's probably going to die soon. Huge opportunity, huge challenge. And in that context, he writes to Timothy, and he says, first of all, don't waste your gifts. He says, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. And I think the Lord would say the same thing to us today. Fan into flame the gifts God has given you. I don't know whether you think you have gifts, but you do. God has put gifts in you. That's what he's done. And you might not know where they are. You might not be very confident about them, but God has given you gifts. In fact, God has given every single person in this building gifts. In fact, no one has the complete skill set that you have. You are a unique mixture of personality, of gifts, of passions, and experience. No one is like you. You are unique, and God has given you gifts for a reason. Think about it. If the God who created the whole universe and knows the end from the beginning and created humanity as the pinnacle of his creation, and you are human, he has put gifts into you for a reason, because he wants them to be used for his glory and the building of his kingdom. So you have gifts, but you might be thinking, well, I don't know what they are. Some people know what their gifts are straight away. If you ask you, what are your gifts? There's some people who can reel it off straight away. Maybe it's because of your job. You've done your job for a long time. You know you're really good at your job and you're an expert in that area. Or maybe you love personality type questionnaires. If you've done Myers-Briggs or Colors or Enneagram, you know exactly kind of what type of person you are and what gifts you've got. Some people are like that. Some people know off by heart the top bit of their CV. You know, they can tell you that. You know, I'm an organized, efficient, hardworking person, willing to discover, accept, and implement new ideas effectively. I'm a good listener and learner, able to communicate well with a group, but also on an individual level. I'm able to motivate and direct my talents and skills to meet objectives. I'm a red-green INTJ adaptive peacemaker. That's just me. That's just me. No, that's not me. I took that from the internet. But anyway, you might know that really well. Other people, you know that because other people have told you what you're really good at, and you've kind of taken it on board. Others of us might struggle a little bit to think, well, what are my gifts? I'm not really sure. It's actually quite hard over time, because sometimes your situation that you're in squashes you into a mold, and you can't really express maybe what you are. Maybe your job is not quite the right fit for you, not quite sure. Maybe over time, your passions and skills have changed. So sometimes it's worth doing a bit of an inventory to try and work it out. But you know what? What I found the most effective way of working out what my gifts are is other people telling me. You only have one perspective on your life. You might think you're good at things, and you're not quite so good as you think. Or maybe you're not very confident in something that you're brilliant at. And the only way to find out is other people helping you. How do you discover your gifts? Through other people. How did Timothy discover his gifts? Because Paul saw them in him and said, you're really good at this. He said, you're really good at leading and at preaching. You're really good at it. How did he know? How did Timothy know that? How did Paul know that Timothy was good at that stuff? Because he'd spent a lot of time with him. At the beginning of this letter, he says, references his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. So he'd obviously spent a lot of time, not just with Timothy, but with his whole family. He kind of knew those guys really well. And so he'd observed over time, Timothy, you're really great at this. And my encouragement to you is to invite others to help you find your gifts, if you're not sure what it is. Professionally, you might be in a workplace where you can ask for feedback on what your gifts and skills are. Maybe that's built into the way that your workplace works. I remember when I used to, before I was a vicar, I worked in corporate training. And I had a boss who basically used to, he wasn't a Christian at all. He was intrigued by faith, but he wasn't a Christian. And I worked out in Paris for a while, working with companies out there for the organization. He was my boss. And he used to sort of give me feedback on what I was really good at in terms of training and communication. He said, this is a really big gift for you. You need to grow in it. But after a while, he said to me, Toby, I don't feel like your heart's in this job. What do you want to do? And I said to him, well, I think I'll probably want to become a management consultant because I love fixing things, helping other people fix things, communicate clearly. That would be a really good fit for my skill set. He said, are you passionate about other companies? And I said, no. He said, well, what are you passionate about? I said, well, Jesus a bit. And he said, why don't you do something that you're most passionate about? You're really passionate. Whenever you talk about your faith, you sort of come alive, despite what you just said then. You kind of come alive. And he said to me, well, why don't you think about doing something where you can help people in faith? And that was the beginning of me ending up doing what I'm doing today. I wasn't a Christian, but he spotted something in me and said, you need to think about this. He really invested in me and helped me think about it. Maybe there's someone in your workplace that can help you with that. But equally, you might have friends who can probably spot that in you as well, who can call it out of you. We had a men's night. There's a women's night coming up. We had a men's night. We had 50 of us on the balcony having a delicious curry, and we had Silas Crawley come and speak. And he's a church leader in Bristol. He's been around for a long time. And he was asked, what are the things that have helped you in your faith? And one of the things he said is accountability. He said, I've got three friends I've met with for the last 25 years, and they are the people who every time I fall, pick me back up again. Every time I fail, they help me. Every time I'm worried about something, they talk to me and help me. He said, that is the key to long-term leadership and growth. And it's true. Who are the friends in your life who can help call out the gifts in you? And the thing is, unless we get to know one another, we can't do that. And by the way, this is an invite-only thing. Don't go around telling people things about themselves that they haven't been invited. But people can't do it unless you invite them. So invite people into that space. Call it out of people. And you can be someone who encourages. Actually, you don't need permission to encourage people. You do need permission to challenge people. But you don't need encouragement. You don't need permission to encourage people. So encourage people. Are you an encourager? Can you find and spot gifts in other people and say, you're really good at this? And I have to say that I've tried to do that my whole life. When I was at university, I had two friends I met with once a week to pray, ask them to help me, encourage me. When I graduated and moved to London, I found two friends. We met every week to do that. When I moved to theological college, I found two friends. I was racking up the friends by that stage. I've kept these groups all going, so I've got quite a lot of them now. But it's amazing to find out how many people over that time. It's absolutely crucial for me to find those people that can encourage me, because we all need encouragement. And there's another dynamic that St. Paul talks about here, which is the laying on of hands. He says the gift is in you. So in other words, it's in you. We have to call it out in one another. But often we don't know. Call it out in people, spot it, encourage it. But then he says through the laying on of my hands. In other words, Paul had prayed for Timothy. There's another dynamic. It wasn't just I've spotted something good in you. He also was praying that God would bring that gift alive. So how can we pray and support one another? We had an interesting time with Pete and Sammy Gregg came the other day. Pete heads up a movement called 24/7 Prayer. We've opened our 24/7 prayer room over in Baldwin Street. Please book in if you haven't already. It's a great place to be. But on that day, he said, Toby, I think I've got a word for you, which is about your gifts and God re-energizing them. And then he slightly embarrassingly said, I think we should crowd surf you to the back. So that happened as well. But but for me, the thing that really hit me was like, yeah, I need people to say, that's a gift in you. I'm going to pray that that comes alive. How can we do that for one another? So St. Paul says, fan your gift into flame. And while you're at it, fan other people's gifts into flame at the same time. So if you've got a gift, use it. And I always say this, the most important place that you can exercise your gift is in the place where you spend most of your time. in your workplace or in the home, wherever you are, that is your primary calling. So, but bear that in mind, that God's put a gift in you, that when you walk into your workplace, he's using your gift to bless people. That's what he wants you to be there for. You're a blessing machine. You're able to bless people through the skills that you bring. So you're not just a teacher. You are someone that God has entrusted with being a role model to the future generations. That's huge. You're not just a student. You're a student. You're someone God has entrusted with understanding the complexity and the beauty of the world that God created in some form and having an influence on the people around you. You're not just a midwife. You're someone God has entrusted with bringing new life into the world. Isn't that phenomenal? You're not just an economist. You're someone that God has entrusted with helping steward the resources that he's given. You're not just a painter, decorator. You're someone who God is using to restore and renew things in a beautiful way. You're not just a nurse or a doctor or a carer. You're someone that God has given the gift of bringing healing and comfort to those who desperately need it. You're not just an artist or a musician or a carpenter or a photographer. You're someone that God has gifted with expressing his creativity, reflecting the creator. You're not just a parent. You're someone God has entrusted with bringing a whole new generation, the most significant thing you could do with your life, investing in that new generation of children. So whether you're negotiating with a board of directors or negotiating with a two-year-old at 2 a.m., you are having an influence. You're bringing God's kingdom in where you are. You're not just a barrister, you're someone who is standing up for truth and justice. You're not just a barista, you are someone who is bringing God's most important thing to the masses to help us in our hour of need. So your workplace needs your gifts. Your family needs your gifts. Your church needs your gifts. You know, God can use you right here. I had this amazing moment a couple of weeks ago where someone who I know is an accountant, I said to them, "You're an accountant. Have you got any spare time to help us with the church accounts?" He said, "Absolutely. I would love to do that. No one's ever asked me to help in that way before." He helps on the coffee team, but now he's helping with the accounts. I was really encouraged to see the people who are growing in their gifts in preaching and in leading worship. Maybe that's something that you've got a skill that you've left behind, but God wants to re-energize it. Maybe you love people and you want to welcome people on the door. Maybe you're passionate about coffee. Get involved in coffee time. Like, there are so many things that you could do, but we need your gifts as well. And it's easy to forget or easy to think that others are better than ourselves. So, first thing I want to encourage you to do, fan into flame the gift of God. Invite other people to spot the gifts in you and then start using them. Secondly, ask God to develop your gifts. Ask God to develop them. We often don't think that the Holy Spirit might be interested in us. We often think, well, there's lots of important things going on. Why would the Holy Spirit be interested in us? But actually, you don't just have gifts that God has given you inside you. The second thing that St. Paul says here is that you have the Spirit of God in you. So you've got gifts in you. They are there. And you also have the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit is the one who can help you develop your gifts. Verse 7 says this: "For the Spirit God gave us," the Holy Spirit, he's given it to us, "does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." The Spirit is in you, and he gives you not timidity, not fear, but power, love, self-discipline. These are ways of growing your gifts. Why has God put the Holy Spirit in us to develop our gifts? Because he is our perfect Heavenly Father. And he wants you to grow and grow and grow. Yesterday, Jill and I did a tag team with parenting yesterday. So Jill looked after the kids in the morning so I could write my sermon. And then I looked after the kids in the afternoon. And I said to Barney, what do you want to do this afternoon? And he said, I want to go skateboarding. And I said to him, great. The history of this is that he got a skateboard for Christmas. And after initial excitement about putting on the pads and rolling around a bit, he realized that he was quite frustrated that he wasn't immediately professional level, and he's never touched it again. And so he then, for him to say, I want to go skateboarding, I was like, okay, let's have another go. So we went out to the park, and there he put his pads on and everything. And basically, I spent a couple of hours taking him round by the hand on his skateboard as he sort of wobbled around. And at the end of it, he said, Daddy, I love skateboarding. I'm really good at it. I was like, yeah, you are. You are. No, you are. And he said, one day, Daddy, I'm going to be a professional. I didn't want to crush his dreams. He may or may not become a professional skateboarder. But what excited me is that he had regained that passion. He wanted to learn. I said to him, if you want to become professional, you're going to have to practice every single day. But he's excited by it. And that excites me. And so when God looks at you and your gifts, he looks at you and goes, that is fantastic. Well done. Keep going. Do you want to do this together? I love the fact that we're doing it together. I'm helping him. The Lord wants to help you to grow in your gifts in the same way. And what does that look like? Well, St. Paul says three things. He says the Spirit helps you with power, love, and self-discipline. So power. Power is one of the things that we need in our gifts. And there's an extra dynamic as the Holy Spirit empowers the gifts that God has given us. But often people don't think I can be strong in my gifts. He said, don't be timid about your gifts. You know, British people are incredibly timid in my experience about their gifts. I'm British. I'm talking as a British person. Humility in Britain often thinks saying, I'm not very good. I'm not very good at anything. I'm terrible. I'm a little slug. No, that's not humility. That's false humility. That is false humility. That's not true. If you're actually good at something, you should say it. We should be a little bit more like the Americans, right? Who's an American here? Yes. But actually, this is a serious point, actually. True humility, as you've often heard me say, it's been quoted so many times, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking that I'm not very good. It's thinking about yourself less. It's spending less time thinking about yourself and more time just doing the things that God has given you to do. Scottie Scheffler. Is anyone any golf fans? We've got a couple of golf fans. Two, in fact, in the room. He is the world number one golfer. He's won the Masters, recently won the Masters for a second time. He's pretty much peerless as a golfer at the moment. He is by far the best. But he was interviewed after he won the Masters. If you're not a golf fan, it's a big tournament. At the end, if you win, you get a green jacket for some reason, and then you hold this trophy. And, I think we've got a little picture. And this is what he said in his interview afterwards. He's in front of the world's media. My victory was secure on the cross, and that's a pretty special feeling, to know that I am secure forever, and it doesn't matter if I win this tournament or lose this tournament, my identity is secure forever. How good is that? Could have said anything. That's what he said. He actually went on to say this. He said, I've been given a gift of this talent. He's got a gift, clearly. And I use it for God's glory. That's pretty much it. So when I'm out there, I try to compete to the best of my abilities. But at the end of the day, my identity is secure already. What a great picture. You don't have to earn anyone's favor by using your gift. You're not trying to get approval from people. You're just trying to use the gift that God has given you to bless others because you don't need to get your identity from it. That's what he is modeling there. So don't be timid. The Holy Spirit gives you power, gives you confidence to use the gifts that you've already got. He also says, don't be ashamed of the testimony that you have already. One of the things I loved about the baptisms last week, five people standing up in front of a room of people and online as well, beamed to millions, well, maybe 12, beamed to 12 people, but saying, I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a Christian. What a powerful thing to do. That's what St. Paul says to Timothy. Don't be ashamed. It's something you've got is hugely powerful that you carry wherever you go. But obviously, as has been said, with great power becomes great responsibility. As Voltaire said, actually, not Father Ben, Uncle Ben in Spider-Man. With great power becomes great responsibility. So power can often be misused, and we see that all across the world, don't we? Power misused, power used to dominate, power used to impose your will on someone else's. Power abused is terrible in the world, in the church, and so sadly we see it so often. Because with power becomes responsibility. And this is where the second two of the things that St. Paul talks about is really important. The Holy Spirit doesn't just give you power and energy to use your gift, but also love and self-discipline. Love is not the gooey feelings that you feel when you see a picture of a puppy. It's not just the superficial. It's far more deep and profound than that. And actually, the New Testament redefines love as self-sacrifice, service. And so when Jesus says, when they're debating who's the greatest among them, they might have been saying, who's got the greatest gift? Jesus says, hey, you got it all wrong. Use your gifts to serve others. That's what love looks like. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us, not to dominate, but to serve. And so your gift is there, not for your benefit. You are not God's gift in that sense. God has given you a gift to bless other people, to bless the world. And the greatest way that you can serve is to give it without anyone noticing at all. Yeah, that's what I love about people who serve on the kids team here. They go out, they serve the kids, they invest in the kids, and we don't see it. We don't, you know, they're not standing up the front, but they're having a huge impact on those who are in need. There's a great charity called Spark, which Kate Spens runs, which is about, we help partner here at St. Nick's with sending people into schools. Lucy, I say that. Lucy is now running it with Kate. So Lucy, we salute you. But Lucy, putting those, taking people into kids who are at risk of exclusion and investing their time in that. What an amazing way to see their gifts grow and to use your gifts. We're also trying to partner with a few other organizations at the moment. Save for Families, trying to invest in families in the city who are really struggling. We want to try and help support other people. But there's something about serving and using your gifts that helps others that is hugely kingdom focused. And then lastly, self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. Self-discipline does not sound exciting. It does not sound sexy. Does not sound like something you really want to, because self-discipline sounds like, oh gosh, I've got to try and get better at this thing. But you know what? God's given you a gift, and there's something about honoring the gift by getting better at using it. And the self-discipline comes through practice. You're never going to get better at something if you don't practice. Well, I'm trying to help Barney to understand. But the great thing is, you can try and fail at a whole bunch of things, and it's still okay. You're still okay. You're still loved by God. You're still secure, but have a go. Don't sit back and wait. Just give it a go. And here's the last thing that self-discipline is really important in, is not just your gifts, but your character. I heard this story when I was a teenager that really made an impact on me. It was of a round-the-world yachtsman. You can Google this. A guy called Mike Plant, who was sailing in the round-the-world yacht race, and he'd already won it. He was the best sailor of his generation from the U.S., and he got a new boat. He's very excited because the new boat was the fastest boat that had ever been made for this competition. It also came equipped with the best tech, radar, sonar, all that sort of stuff. And he was traveling from the U.S. to Paris to compete in the world round the world yacht race, but they didn't hear from him for a couple of days. But they weren't worried because it was Mike Plant. He was the best in the world. And after many, many days, eventually, they didn't hear from him. They sent out search parties. Eventually, after lots of searching, they found his yacht, the Coyote, upturned, and he was never found. And the investigation had to work out, well, what had happened? This guy's an expert. And what they worked out was that the bulb at the bottom of the keel had broken off. And because of the weight of the top on top, it had flipped over. and capsized. And the person using this instruction said, you know what, we can look great on the outside, can't we? We can have the most amazing gifts, and you do have them. But if you invest all your time on what people see on the outside and not what's below the surface, one day you'll flip over. Your character needs to outweigh your gifting. Your character must be heavier. What's below the waterline must be more heavy, more dense, more profound than what's above. So of all the things you can do is to invest in your character, to allow God to shape your character. You may have capsized already in your life, and the Lord is wonderful at putting us back on an even keel again and saying, let's do it again. The Lord wants to shape your character as well as your gifting. In fact, it's even more important. And this is where accountability comes in. Because if we allow other people into our lives, not only can they say, you're brilliant at this, we want to encourage you. But they can also say, have you thought about the way you're treating X, Y, or Z? Have you thought about putting some boundaries in so that you don't slip up? Have you thought about how I can encourage you in that way? So self-discipline, obviously about our gifts, but also about our character. As I said, this is a time of huge challenge. We're all facing challenges. We need one another. One of the excitements about the guys' night was an encouragement to get into little groups of three regularly. And that's not always easy, just to encourage you. It's not always easy. You won't always find the right people straight away. It's a bit like dating. Some, you know, you might ask someone, do you want to meet up for a coffee? And they go, no. That's painful, you know, like, oh, okay. I mean, that hasn't happened often, but maybe. You might go for a coffee and say, hey, what do you think about doing a meeting up and like getting to know one another a bit and like chatting with one other person? They say, oh, maybe. And then you're reading that as like, no, that's okay as well. But you know what? If you keep going, you will find a couple of people who will be like, that's exactly what I've been looking for. That's exactly what, thank you for asking me. I am desperate for that connection. Why don't we just try it for a little bit? Why don't we meet up and pray for one another and just get to know one another, all that sort of stuff. But it has the power to hugely influence and change your life, to release your gifts and to help your character. So can I encourage you? You have a gift. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Certainly don't let the enemy tell you any different. You have a gift, and it is unique to you. It is powerful. It can have an impact on the people around you. And we need you to use your gifts in your workplace, your family, and in your church. But also, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely committed to you, to your character, to your gifting, to developing you into a much more Jesus-like version of yourself who will be hugely impactful for the rest of your life. Should we pray? Should we stand, actually? Moment, I'm going to hand over to the guys, but why don't we just pray for a moment, and why don't we just invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill us? He already lives within you. That's what St. Paul says. The Holy Spirit lives within you. You don't have to find a new Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there already. But St. Paul says to the Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. Go on being filled over and over again. So why don't we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us again? Lord, we thank you that you've made each person in this building in your image. Thank you that every person here has a unique combination of personality, skills, passions, and experience that you can use for your kingdom, to bless other people. And so we pray, Lord, would you fan into flame through your Holy Spirit the gift of God that is in each of us. And you might just want to say to the Lord, Lord, I give you again my gifts. I surrender them to you. If you know what they are, just say, Lord, I'm giving you my gifts. I'm giving you my time. Use them. Or you might want to say to the Lord, I'm not really sure what they are. Will you show me? And Lord, we now also pray that these gifts, like these embers, you'd fan them into flame by the power of your Holy Spirit. We need your power. We pray for your power, the power of the Spirit, your power, your love, your self-discipline. Holy Spirit, would you energize these gifts? And it's just like the embers, it's like the embers in the church. The Lord is just like by the Spirit, just fanning it, fanning it, fanning it. Don't sit on your gifts. Don't deny your gifts. Just allow the Lord. Just give him free access. Just say, I want to use those gifts to bring your kingdom. We have a chance to pray later on, but I just sense as we're waiting on the Spirit, for some of you, something has happened along the way that you've just decided to hide your gift. It might have been something that someone said to you, negative experience, and you've thought, I'm going to hide that. And the Lord is just saying, don't hide it. I can heal whatever that was. But just don't allow the enemy to silence you, to stop you. The Lord wants you to use your gifts. He wants to re-energize. It might be that the Lord wants to heal you of an experience or a pain. But I just sense the Lord saying, I want to heal you to enable you to use the gifts I've put in you. Lord, we thank you for your work here within us. And we pray, Lord, that you'd carry it on to completion. Amen. Amen.